Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Participation in organized sports has a variety of health benefits. We know that it's good for our kids, but it also has the potential to expose the athlete to a variety of infectious diseases, some of which may produce outbreaks, and we've heard about some of those in the media. My guests today are Dr. H. Dele Davies. He's an internationally recognized expert in pediatric infectious diseases and a leader in the community health, and Dr. Mary Ann Jackson. She's a pediatrician and spokesman for the American Academy of Pediatrics. Welcome to the show. So, Dr. Dele, I'm going to start with you, and I explained to you a little bit before off the air, as a mother with a son who's a gymnast, I see mats and bars and then the locker room, and I get nervous about these things. What's the first best bit of information that you would like parents to know about some of these infectious diseases and what we should be concerned with?
Well, I think, Melanie, you said it really well in your introduction when you said that sports are very important in terms of socialization and fitness and learning athletic skills. There's a lot of benefit to sports, but there's also risk. And I think the most important message to parents is that they just need to be aware of the risks and to encourage their children and the programs that they're involved in just to use some very simple precautions to prevent spread. And the most common ways of getting in these kind of infections are through contact. So I would say the most important thing is good personal hygiene, you know, hand washing, showering, making sure that they wash their laundry carefully, avoid sharing water bottles and other things like that. So there are a number of common sense things that can be done from the individual athletes, and then from the actual clubs themselves is really just regular cleaning of the mats and other gym equipment that they may be using on a regular basis.
So, Dr. Jackson, what diseases are we looking at? We heard about MRSA a little bit in the media a few years ago, that there was a bit of an outbreak. So what else are we looking at?
Well, as Dr. Davies mentioned, many of these are common infections, and in fact, Staph aureus and the variant is MRSA. That's a bit more difficult to treat. And group A streptococcus all loves damaged skin, and in many sports, you know, you have damaged skin from injuries. And in fact, when MRSA was first identified as a risk for athletes, it was identified in professional athletes who played football and had turf injuries. So those are common. But the other types of infections that we see that are frequent and also associated with certain types of sports include certain viruses, including herpes simplex virus. We normally think of this as fever blister virus, but it can cause an outbreak of skin infections and typically is seen in wrestlers and in rugby players. And in fact, there's a name for them that actually includes the name kind of indicating the sport. These infections can be quite common, and they're spread by this skin-to-skin contact. A similar example, but less frequently seen, is a virus called molluscum. And this, too, is related to contact that is skin-to-skin with people known to have lesions. So it just underscores the importance of knowing about these types of infections and understanding not only, as Dr. Davies said, personal hygiene and care of equipment, but also having a really good athletic trainer who obviously knows about these infections and who can identify those if there are skin lesions, identify those and in fact, make some recommendations for prevention in certain cases. Another example of a type of infection that most people have heard of has to do with fungal infections, and these fungal infections, athlete's foot, jock itch, these are quite common types of infections that most parents themselves recognize.
And some of those things, well, and some of those things are difficult to deal with, lice or athlete's foot, but things like herpes that you mentioned, that's a light. I mean, if they get that, they may get those cold sores for their whole life.
So they won't be cold, although cold sores can be seen in athletic participation. The cold sores are more like in skiers, for instance, who are sun-triggered. But that same virus that causes a cold sore can cause a skin lesion. And the skin lesion in wrestlers and in rugby players are from direct skin-to-skin contact with other wrestlers or other rugby players, and there can be outbreaks within the whole team structure. Now, fortunately, in these particular cases, they're problematic in the fact that they are spread person to person, and you can have many who are infected. But in fact, there is newer information about using medication for those who been infected in the past to prevent spread, and those are the types of things that parents of rugby players or of wrestlers need to know about. They know about this type of skin lesion and what it looks like and how it can spread, but they also need to know that there's treatment and there's preventative treatment.
Dr. Davies, what about, there's a cost aspect of this, because sometimes when, you know, your kid has gone to a questionable club team or one of those things, or even a school that has a lot of athletics, they've got to keep those mats clean. They've got to keep those bars clean. They've got to educate the coaches and the athletic trainers or the students on this proper hygiene. Do you think that there is a budget constraint in this awareness?
Well, I would say that the way the programs may want to look at this, they may want to look at the cost of not preventing these infections. You know, you have students who are really dedicated to winning for this goal. They're trying to maximize their personal potential in the sports. And if there's an outbreak on that team and the whole team is unable to participate as a result of, the clubs or the schools not paying attention to proper hygiene, I would argue that the cost of that would be much greater. And then the cost of treating the athletes if they do get an infection, and then the negative publicity that would occur if parents found out that there was an outbreak of a particular preventable condition that could have been prevented through education. What we're talking about here does not require a lot of expensive costs. We're talking about education. We're talking about, you know, cleaning mats and equipment, which should be done anyhow. I think that's what most parents would expect if they're going to send their children to a specific club or to a school participating that's offering sports. And I think a lot of what we're talking about here takes very little time. I mean, the athletic director just examining each of the athletes who are doing contact sports before they participate, that should take very, very little cost. So actually, I would actually argue that the cost of not doing this is much more significant than the cost of actually, because all the tools are out there. I think this guideline will give each of the programs basically a pattern or a toolbox that they can use, and it shouldn't really cost them anything other than just the time it takes to do the cleaning.
Absolutely. Now, Dr. Jackson, yes, I'd like you to add in here. And do you think that pediatricians should be including some of this education in their pre-participation physical?
I think it's extremely important that the pediatrician in the medical home be involved in this. And most, you'll find, take advantage of having this conversation with parents when they're doing the school physical for the student. The school physical that's recommended by the American Academy of Pediatrics and the same that's used by the American Academy of Family Practitioners is very specific. It involves an extensive history. It even goes into information related to prior infections that the student may have. It includes an examination that looks for any skin lesions, evidence of skin lesions or prior infections. The pediatrician then will provide some anticipatory guidance to not only the athlete and the families, but oftentimes you know, to the athletic trainers and the coaches within the school.
Well, that's an important point, is the coaches, and we do tend to assume, maybe wrongly, parents do, that the coaches are going to help. Now, I know my son gets these rips in his hand, and these are open wounds, and they have a saying that's even on their T-shirts, rub some chalk in it. But that certainly is not adequate enough, and I'm a little bit anal about that. But now, Dr. Davies, back to you. We're looking at weight rooms, mats, locker rooms, you know, all of these places. And maybe it's not expensive to do that, and certainly it's more expensive to get these kids sick or to have the whole team out because there was some outbreak of lice among the team or whatever it is. But what else is it that we need to do as far as awareness, putting up signs, getting our kids to do all of these healthy things? Tell us a little bit about this study.
Actually, one of the simple, most effective things that parents can do is actually to immunize their children. We don't talk enough about that, and we actually talk about that in this paper, because a lot of we talk about the close contact, which, Dr. Jackson has already described in detail how those are propagated. But a lot of the things that can also be spread are usually when you are sort of in close contact in crowded settings, things like chickenpox, measles, mumps, the flu, whooping cough. These are things that can also spread very quickly through organized sports teams and can actually disable them. So I think just the regular, thinking about immunizing your children so that they're not going to be susceptible to the preventable conditions for which we have very effective vaccines would also be another major thing. But I think going back to even just beyond what we just spoke about in terms of cleaning, I think personal hygiene cannot be overstressed. Just, good hand washing, daily showering after you've been in a contact sport, and just being careful about what you're sharing with your friends. We understand, it's easy to think about, sharing things, but you can pick stuff up by sharing water and towels and things that maybe athletes don't think too often about.
Well, they don't, and they do share those things all the time, and that's a really good advice about vaccination. And Dr. Jackson, what about things that we necessarily can't vaccinate? Now, no parent wants to get that strep letter, and even less want to get that lice letter. And you don't want to be the parent who causes that lice letter, to go around. But what do we do about things like strep? You get a letter, it's going around. You don't want to keep your kid home from their athletic practice, and they won't do it anyway if they're really into their sport.
So one thing that's extremely important is to know that in terms of streptococcal infection, at least respiratory streptococcal infection, your child is going to have a very specific clinical presentation. Parents need to know that even though there may have been strep among team members, that if their child is well, does not have a sore throat, and certainly, if they have a sore throat but have viral symptoms, that's not strep. And I think we need to engage pediatricians in this discussion, too. We don't want over-evaluation and treatment of streptococcal infection, because so many kids, as many as a fourth of kids, will carry the germ in their throat. So the first number one is if you get the note home that strep is going around the team, don't panic. If your child develops fever and a sore throat, then make sure that they're assessed by their pediatrician and they do have the appropriate diagnostic testing, which includes the rapid strep testing, and that they're treated appropriately. And just to add to what Deli was saying about the importance of immunization, one thing that I think parents need to be cognizant of is a lot of kids now who are really elite athletes and on traveling teams and such, they're going to places where you do not know what the vaccine coverage is within that group. You cannot depend on the herd immunity of another community, especially for these children who may be going internationally on trips. And so that's why it's important that each athlete is immunized and immunized appropriately.
Dr. Davies, what do you want parents to look for if our kids are on a club team or they're, you know that it's a sport that's a contact sport? What should we, without insulting the coaches, because we all know there are parents on the sideline yelling out things they shouldn't be yelling, but also we should be involved, as we have learned, about concussion recognition and those sorts of things. As far as this goes and infections and spreading them, what can we parents do? And what should we look for when we're looking at the club team, when we're going to the gymnastics thing? Should we be looking around at the mats? Should we go in the locker? What should we do?
I think it's a fair assumption to make that every club should have a plan for how they handle their mats and how they handle common infections. I think it's not unreasonable for parents to ask if they could see the protocol that the clubs have for handling these kind of infections. At the very least, to have a conversation with a coach and to ask the question, what is your protocol for cleaning the mats in between practice sessions, in between competitions? And, I think most coaches will have no trouble showing them something that they're using and perhaps even have refer them to a site where that's posted. And I think from the parents as well, to really ask their teenage or younger athlete the question of, has your coach ever checked your scan prior to you competing in competitive wrestling or rugby or football? And perhaps ask them, encourage the individual athlete to make sure that they're actually paying attention themselves to their own individual hygiene practices. I think right now there are guidelines that are out there. First of all, we put out these guidelines, but the NCAA, there's a National Federation of High School Teams, and other organizations that actually have guidelines on what these different schools should be doing. And I think it's important for the parents to be aware that these guidelines are out there and just ask questions to make sure that where they're sending their children are places that are following what would be considered guidelines.
And you don't think that would be insulting that the coaches might? I mean, because the American College of Sports Medicine also has those guidelines.
Yes, they do.
And so it's not insulting that we say, okay, so, ACSM has these. What do you guys do as far as keeping all this stuff clean?
Well, the response, I think, should give you an indication of, how seriously they take the health of your child.
And Dr. Jackson, what would you like to say about that?
Well, we say in the paper that coaches and trainers are the primary responsible people for reviewing and emphasizing the key hygiene behaviors and for taking care of all the recommendations to minimize the risk of obtaining or spreading infection. So I really don't think parents need to be worried about bringing this up. I agree with Dr. Davies. If the teams are doing what they should be doing, if they're abiding by guidelines such as those that come from the American College of Sports Medicine, they'll tell you. You'll know very quickly and feel confident that your child's team knows what they're supposed to be doing. They're doing it on a regular basis, and that your child should be in that best possible place then.
So, Dr. Jackson, your last word here, and then I'll go back to Dr. Davies. What do you want parents to know about if their child is in one of these kinds of sports? Some sports lend themselves to this more than others, wrestling, gymnastics, the contact sports, as you've mentioned. So what do you want us parents to know about when their kids come home with rips on their hand from the high bar? What should we be doing?
So you go back to the basics. And so as kids come home from their competition, making sure they're showered, making sure you're looking for any turf burns or mat burns or from the high bars, these splits that come across the skin, keeping an eye on what those look like after they're cared for, just with, standard keeping them clean, keeping them covered, making sure that basic things are happening, that they're changing their socks, that they're keeping their shoes clean, that they're not exchanging their equipment with other athletes on the team. I think those are going to be the keys, and I think that not only, it's kind of, it takes a village. It's not only the student and the parent, but depending on the coach, the rest of the team, and, you know, going back to your medical home and getting the guidance for what needs to happen to keep these athletes safe.
And Dr. Davies, last word to you on this whole infectious diseases and infections that our kids can get while playing sports. While we know these sports are so good for their mental health and their physical health and social involvement, certainly better than sitting on their cell phones all day, what do you want them to know about the safety aspect of participating in these and what parents, coaches, and schools can do to really propagate this healthier environment?
So I think that it is pretty clear that a lot of these things are preventable. And I believe that, as Dr. Jackson said, most clubs and most coaches are taking the needed precautions. I would say that the most logical, the most sensible thing for parents to do is to be aware that these infections can occur, but also that they can be prevented by very, very simple hygiene. And I think that also recognizing that if their child should get a scrape or something that they're concerned about, most of these are easily managed. And it's a matter of, you know, thinking about what they need to do at home, which is typically cleaning and maybe perhaps applying some topical antibiotic cream that might help mitigate any spread. But then also being aware that they, you know, for things that include maybe a fever or some other symptoms, they should just consult with their physician. But by and large, most of these conditions can be prevented by very simple hygiene methods. And as you've pointed out, we really believe that children should continue to participate in sports.
It's great advice. Doctors, thank you so much for being with us today. And it's a great publication to put out. And people can get more information on this from AAP.org or HealthyChildren.org, the consumer website of the American Academy of Pediatrics. You're listening to Healthy Children, where our experts are provided by the gold standard in pediatrics, the American Academy of Pediatrics. So you know you're getting quality information that you can trust from the experts in their field. If you want to get involved, you want to leave us comments, please go and rate and review on iTunes. That way, like-minded people, we can all get involved. And parents, this is about as important as it gets. We want to protect our children while also giving them the greatest experience in team sports and that sort of thing. So we have to hear this bits of information and know what we have to do to be proactive. And as these doctors have told us, we need to vaccinate our children, make sure they're prepared for these things, teach them proper hygiene techniques, make sure they get plenty of sleep so their immune system can fight off whatever else is going on. This is Melanie Cole for Radio MD and Healthy Children. Thanks for listening and stay well.